Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome to Sister Share. We're so glad that you decided to join us this week. We've gathered together as sisters from several different places.
I'm Larae, calling in from Rexburg.
I'm Nettie, calling in this week from Seattle, Washington, USA.
And I'm still in Cache Valley. This is Mamie.
This is Heidi from Orem.
And Katie from Spanish Fork.
Make sure you look for us on social media. And tonight we will be talking about jobs and chores, how to motivate your children, how to help them to be successful, all the different ins and outs of jobs and chores for children. One of the reasons that we decided to talk about this tonight is because of a comment that my daughter made to me just this last week. She's graduating from high school this year and headed off to college in the summer. And out of the blue, she said to me, "Mom, I'm so glad that you had us do dishes and laundry and cook and clean, because I've been talking this week with some of my friends who have never had any responsibilities in the home. And they are now going off to college and don't know how to do laundry, how to cook, how to take care of themselves." And she said, "I'm so glad that you taught us that." So how can we do that as mothers? Make sure that our children have those opportunities while they're young so that they can go into the world prepared.
I just want to comment here, because this actually crossed my mind as a teacher. I was thinking of what is it that makes kids successful? And it's not necessarily getting them to all the practices, giving them all the opportunities, making sure they have all the latest uniforms and they're on all the best teams. That's not really what makes kids successful. It's really helping them learn the basics of life at home. And when we think about success stories, you know, nobody promotes their successful CEO as, "This guy is a CEO and he had the best childhood. He had tons of money. He went everywhere. He did everything." No, the stories that people promote of successful people are those who came from nothing and pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. Isn't that interesting? We want to hear success stories of people who had real life challenges, not people that were handed everything. And it's the same for children. If children are going to be successful, we need to make sure that they are doing the basics of success, not the pretend success of basically having life handed to you.
That's so true, Nan. This week also, my second grader brought home a paper from school. They're learning about how to keep the earth clean. And it was a paper to parents about what you can discuss with your children to further the topic at home. It had several bullet points, and one of the bullet points said, "Teach your children the word responsibility. Teach them what responsibilities they have, and you can discuss it in any situation." So at school, they discussed, what are your responsibilities as a student? What are the teacher's responsibilities? How does that play out and interact and affect each other? And you can do that at home too. What are your responsibilities as a member of our family, as a son or daughter, as a brother or sister? Responsibilities is a very powerful word, and often something that we don't discuss but needs to be discussed. We all have responsibilities. It's probably more important to talk about that than it is to talk about what our rights are.
Yeah, I was just saying that I just started a book about Gandhi and what made him change. He was not always the man that we know, the famous one we know. He talks about, in his own words, how his mindset changed from what rights he had to what rights others around him had, and his responsibility to make that happen, to seeing outside of himself. And that's one of the principles we're trying to teach our children.
So how do we teach them? Any ideas or questions or thoughts?
Apparently not too many.
I have so many questions, but I'm worried about getting into the weeds of things or tangents if this isn't where we're trying to go with this. But just today, we've struggled a lot with children that are just on their own timeline. So I give them responsibilities and jobs, but then it messes up the whole family schedule. So I'm wondering, how do you give them jobs and not have it affect the whole rest of the family? when they choose not to do it, or they choose to take a lot longer than it needs to take or should take? What do you do?
That's a really good question, Heidi. Something came to mind as you were sharing that. My daughter, Hannah, had a really good second grade teacher who would talk to her. She would always go to the bathroom and make the class wait. They were supposed to be on their way to music or PE, and Hannah was in the bathroom. They'd have to wait for her. And so she talked at a parent-teacher conference with both Hannah and I. And the way she addressed it was, Hannah, do you realize that when you do that, you're making all of these people wait? So if you have a class of 30 people and they all wait 3 minutes for you to come, then how many minutes is wasted? That's 90 minutes of time that's wasted. So I actually used that just this week. There was somebody that was in the room. We were kneeling up for family prayer, but they were not being quick about kneeling up with us. And after the prayer, I just said to that son, do you realize that you just made 7 people wait 3 minutes for you to kneel up? And that's 21 minutes of wasted time. I think just putting it in perspective can be one helpful step in helping them realize that it's affecting other people. I also think that you can pick and choose what you're willing to let be affected by what you ask them to do. For example, if there's a child that needs to set the table for dinner, maybe have them start it at 3 o'clock and have something on the other end of the stick. Like, as soon as you set the table, you can go out and play so that you make sure that it is done on time. I think there are sometimes things you can do like that to assure that it's not going to interrupt your schedule. But I also think it can be helpful when it does interrupt the schedule so that they learn a valuable lesson.
I like it, Mame. I'm going to use that with my third grade class. We have wasted a lot of minutes waiting for people. One thing that I have done with my own children and also at school is that if somebody consistently is slow or lagging, I will ask them. I will either ask them how long they think it will take to accomplish the job, or if we have a time limit, I will ask them how much of the job they think they can accomplish in that amount of time, like the next 3 minutes or the next 5 minutes. They always set very high expectations for themselves. And then I put a timer on and make sure, and they're usually really good about doing it. They're not slow because they can't. They're slow because they're not thinking about the whole situation. You are, as the mom, but they're not.
Ray, I actually have used that too, and it's very effective. For example, one of my kids will be, I'll use setting the table again as an example. They say, oh, I can't do that. That's going to take so long. So then I have them guess, how long do you think it will really take you? And usually in my case, they'll say 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And I'm like, well, I think it will take you 5 minutes. So let's time you, see how long it takes, and see who, which of us was closer. And inevitably it's really short. And they're like, oh, it really doesn't take me 30 minutes to set the table.
Thank you. Good ideas.
Okay, guys, next question.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know how to implement that. Because it's not setting the table. It's like a job that's part of all the other jobs, and they can't do it at 3 o'clock. They're like the dishes putter awayer. And so everyone else has done their job, and we've all gone up and gotten ready for bed, and that person is still putting away dishes, and we all have family prayer, and we all have family scripture study, and that person's still putting away dishes. And so we all wait, you know, we wait for family prayer because we want her to be part of it. And we wait for family scripture study because we want her to be a part of it. And we've had the conversation about how much time everyone spends waiting, and it doesn't change. But I might be able to use the timer thing. We haven't tried that. But we've had consequences. You know, she misses out on family because we read books at night. She misses out on that. We do that first. We've started rearranging our whole schedule so that she's missing family book reading instead of scripture study. But still, it doesn't matter to her. You know, she'd just as soon be on her own schedule. So I'm just still scratching my head over how do we just get this person to like get a fire lit under them and get things done.
Okay, I don't know that this is a helpful solution, but we're reading Mrs. Pigglewiggle in class right now, and she has the most extreme solutions, and I love them. So I was just thinking, I bet Mrs. Pigglewiggle would say, call her over for family prayer, call her over for family scripture study, don't let her miss out on what the essentials are, then turn off the lights and go to bed. Like, have her be doing the dishes all by herself with a nightlight or something, or a flashlight, I don't know, or a small kitchen light on, I don't know. Something I might go to the lengths to do if it was that extreme.
I think I might be ready for that extreme. Thanks, Ray.
One thing I love about what you're doing, Hides, that I feel like is an important principle, is that chores and helping around the house are part of everyday life. They're not extra. They're not stuff we get paid to do. They're just part of being the family. And we sit down at the beginning of summer and at the beginning of the school year and look at everyone's schedules and think about who would work best in what job. It's always a community thing. And the kids, we have a list of all the things that have to be done and who will fit that job best. I have kids who leave early in the morning. They can't do breakfast dishes. But I also have kids who work in the evenings. They can't do dinner dishes. So we just kind of dole them out, and I feel like everyone feels responsible, hopefully, for the part they can do, because we're all contributors. We're all trying to live in this house together.
Ray, that is an important principle called taking ownership. If you can get them to take ownership, they'll be so much more willing to do it. Just this year, we have our two oldest that are dating people, and so weddings are on our mind, although we don't know when. So as I've been working in my yard, I feel pressure to make sure that our yard looks nice this year, just in case, right? Just in case we need to have a wedding reception here. So I was thinking about how, for me, it's harder to ask kids to work in the yard. Not harder per se, but it's not something that necessarily is needful, like cleaning up the dishes after every meal is. It's still needful, but it's just a different sort of a priority. We get to it if we have time. So I realized that I could approach my kids and family council tomorrow and say, we need to keep our yard up and nice because we could have weddings this year. And usually the person getting married is not the one that's going to have time to take care of the yard and get it all ready for the reception. But if we are willing as younger siblings to take care of the yard, then when it's their turn to have the reception in the yard, they're going to be able to benefit from a nice yard. So I think we can also play that card, if you can call it a card. Just talk about how it may not be your turn right now, but we're helping because we know somebody else needs this, and our turn will come, and we'll have the opportunity to enjoy the fruits of the labor someday.
I like that. Could we talk about specific jobs and what ages you start kids doing things? Kate, I know that you have a lot of jobs and a lot of kids at a lot of ages. What do you like? When do they start making their bed? When do they start helping with dinner dishes? When can they wash? When can they set the table? When can they feed the chickens? What do you do?
That's a great question, Ray, and I don't have the answer. I think every child's different, and I think most children are the same. I feel like most of my children were the same. But then our sixth came along, Lindy, and she's just a little behind. I mean, she learned to dress herself like 2 months before her younger sister, who's over 2 years younger than her, learned to dress herself. She's just slower at learning. She's not slower at learning. She's just behind in her learning. And so I think it probably depends on the child. But we do have responsibilities for... We expect our three-year-old to take care of her clothes and to make her bed. And there are days when she says, Mom, I can't make my bed. And then we say, well, you go do the best you can, and then we'll come help you fix what you can't do. But she's expected to make an effort. And then even just tonight, my five-year-old, Lindy, who has been slower, she's had dinner jobs for well over a year and a half, but she's never been consistent at them because of her abilities. And so we have, you know, so usually one of the parents is helping her with the job. And tonight I said, okay, I'm just going to tell you what to do. And she wasn't very happy about it, but she was very capable of doing it. So I think just as, I mean, I don't know. I think you just have to watch, but we do have, everyone 5 and older helping with dishes. And I know at Mamie's house, I've seen that one of the olders is in charge of taking care of the littles, because that's part of the problem too, when you're trying to get dishes done and you have littles that can't help, and then they're underfoot and messing up things that you're trying to clean up. So I know at Mame's house, they have that chore, which I love. We're not to that moment in our lives, but I love that chore too. But I feel like recently, in the last couple of years, we've gotten to the moment where we have old enough to do washing and drying and putting away and picking up, so that the parents can step away. Always, it seemed like the parents had to be one of the jobs, one of the harder jobs. So I feel like in that sense, we've been able to step away a little bit and just manage instead of participate.
I like how you said, Katie, that parents can step away. I think dishes is a really good job where parents can, for the most part, step away. And you might have to go back in later and wipe up and clean up a little bit. But I just love dishes. I think there's so much value in setting the table, picking up the table, washing, drying, putting away, sweeping the floor. It's really a little world of its own that can give us a lot of different opportunities for teaching kids responsibility. But I just want to go back to, when is the best time for kids to start having jobs and start having responsibility? And I would say as soon as they want to, because most kids want to do things like that when they're young. So catch it then and have them help with responsibilities as soon as they want to. Make it a fun thing, and then it just naturally will be part of their life. I mean, the rest of their life, right? Taking care of themselves, getting dressed, making a bed, helping with the meal. So just do it when you can. As soon as they want to, do it.
I agree, Nan. That's a good to point out, because there is a point where kids want to be helpful. They want to mop the floors. They want to wash the windows. They want to wipe the mirror down. And it's usually pretty young. One thing I've learned is that parents often doubt what their kids are capable of. I think our kids are very capable, very young, younger than we think. They may not make their bed perfectly, but if we keep expecting good bed making and showing them how, they will live up to the expectation eventually. I have talked to mothers recently who say, oh, my kid's bed standard is just not up to mine, so I go and make their bed, and their kids can be teenagers. And I think, well, their bed standard, that's regulated by the parent. I remember Pa coming in and doing military inspections of our bedrooms on first Saturdays when we cleaned them. And the expectation is set by the parent, and the training is given by the parent. It's up to the parent to set the standards. And I think some parents, and at some point, all kids are going to play the I can't do that card. But they can. They're very, very capable, and they can.
And I just want to go back to the comment I made earlier about how those are the success stories we like. I think that if children are too busy and too involved in extracurricular activities so that their mom makes their bed for them, their mom puts their clothes away from them, their mom, does the dishes for them every day, then that child is too busy. If kids are too busy to do the basics of life, then they're really missing out on some of the stepping stones that will make them successful in life. Even though being successful in a sport or, you know, an art or something is also successful, we really have to remember that it's the basics that are the basic foundation for successful people.
Some of the chores that I have my littles do right at the beginning are to empty the trashes in the bathrooms. So I just have them go and collect the trash bag in the bathroom, put it in the bigger kitchen garbage, and then put a new bag in the bathroom. That's something that we usually do every few days, every 2 or 3 days, and something that they can do on their own. I also, she loves to sweep, so I have her sweep. Her coat room job every Saturday is to sweep, and she sweeps up after lunches and dinners. And I forgot the other one that I was going to share. Oh, setting the table is a good one. And one thing that we've done with our littles for setting the table that I think most of you probably have done too, is to make a placemat that has the table setting on it, where the spoon goes, where the fork goes, where the cup goes, so they can see how it's supposed to go on the table. Like Larray said, you want to have high expectations and make sure that they're setting it properly. So usually I'll go back after they're done setting the table and show them how they can adjust it so that's sitting really nice and neat and ready for dinner.
This may be a bit of a tangent, but thanks, Mame. I like the list of jobs and all the fun things they can do. We live in a far north country and it snows a lot. And one thing, and we have big driveways and we're all gone during the day. So, we've been here a while and we've learned that if we leave the snow, it will just be ice. We can't shovel it later. It has to be done before we leave in the morning. So we often, when we got here, we got 10 snow shovels because we had all our kids at home. And if it snowed in the night, we usually get up at 6 for scripture study, but we would get the kids up at 5:30 and we would be out shoveling so that we could make it to all our commitments on time in the morning. And that was inconvenient and it was a spur of the moment. The kids, I mean, sometimes you know it's going to snow in the night, but sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. And as I've looked back over the years, pulling kids out of bed early and it's dark and it's cold and we all have to go outside, they hated it. We all have hated it, but it has taught us all a good lesson. By the time we're out there at 5:45 shoveling, everybody's in a good mood by the time we come in. And I feel like sometimes the inconvenience and the hardness of it is a good lesson in itself. So as I look back, I'm grateful that we've had opportunities to teach our kids that sometimes our family service is not on our schedule. Sometimes it's inconvenient, but we're all in this together and we're all going to help out.
That's beautiful, Ray. I love that. I had one other thought I wanted to share. Well, I guess the principle with this thought would be that you need to follow the Spirit. Each of us follows the Spirit. And like Katie said, every child is different. So be in tune with what they can do, what they can't do, and also what their needs are. These are two opposing examples with two different children, and I think share that same principle. So we had Hannah, who was probably about 12 or 13. She was in charge of washing the dishes, and she was just moping and balking about it. It was like 7 o'clock at night. It was school the next day. She was telling us she was so tired. She just wanted to go to bed. And James and I were just sitting in the living room having our weekly companionship meeting. So in that instance, we didn't do anything. We didn't buy into her moping and complaining. We just kept on meeting. We didn't say anything. We expected her to do her job, and it took her like 2 hours to do that job. But she finally realized that we weren't going to step in and help her, and she did it. Everybody else had already gone to bed. The other example is, I think, also with Hannah. I can't remember exactly, but one night she was on the dishes, and I was at the end of my rope. I don't remember why, but it had been a long day, and she rolled her eyes at me when it was time to do the dishes, and I had had it. And the way that I reacted that time was to say, okay, you can't do the dishes. I'm going to do the dishes tonight. And I just furiously started washing the dishes. And I don't think that's probably something they teach you in parenting classes, but that's what happened. And as a result of that, Hannah immediately became meek and repentant. And she was like, no, mom, I'll wash them. It's my job. And I was like, no, you cannot wash the dishes. You rolled your eyes at me. You weren't wanting to do it. And I'm going to do it for you. And I washed the dishes for her that night, and it solved the problem. She never did that again. She'd come in and wash the dishes every other time. I think it was actually not Hannah. I think it was someone else, because I feel like having Hannah follow through that first example that I shared helped her realize that it was her responsibility, and she just followed through after that. And the other child needed the opposite. And after that, they followed through with washing the dishes. So I have used both of those in different situations, and both of them can be effective, but it has to be led by the Spirit and what the child needs.
And I want to piggyback off that from Heidi's comment. What do you do? I mean, several of you still have young kids and you're really battling trying to help them have some responsibility. I think we can always go back to Grandma Bisson's comment and maybe change it just slightly. She always said, do something. Even if it's wrong, do something. If you're trying to teach responsibility for your kids, have them be responsible for something. Even if it's wrong, just do something and stick to it and set that example. And it's going to work out. There's no right answer. Just do something to teach them responsibility.
I like that. I would add also that if it's a consistent problem, I think it bears talking about as a couple in a presidency meeting or something and coming up with a solution you can both get behind and being consistent. Sometimes in the moment, it's hard to react properly to something because it can be such a trigger. But a consistent problem is probably something that they can come up with a battle plan and then stick with it. Some problems we've had that we brought up in family council, like the dishes aren't all getting done in the morning, or the counters aren't getting wiped off, or the bathrooms aren't clean or something. And then we'll have a family discussion about it too. And that has helped sometimes to pull together the family and discuss it. Okay, Heidi, I want to hear some of the jobs in your family. We haven't heard anything from you yet.
I gave the question, Ray. And I've got plenty of those if you want more. I really don't know. And we struggle too. I want my kids to learn to work outside and we don't have much of a yard. And so we've tried to find other yards in the ward that we can help take care of, because I want my kids to learn how to do yard work. And so we've tried to find some families in the ward that can't do yard work, and had my kids mow their lawn and weed their flower beds and things like that, because we don't really have much to warrant outside work. And we do the dishes and laundry. I mean, we do laundry only once a week, and so I have them fold and put away. I don't know what else we do, but we don't do well at any of it, so I shouldn't be the one talking.
You're doing okay, Kate, Heidi. You're doing okay. No good effort is wasted. Even the thought or the trying to teach kids. I'm impressed that you go find other yards since you don't feel like you have enough yard work in your own yard. Even that is going to resonate with the kids and make a difference.
Because even the making the beds, I mean, we attempt, but like none of them really get made. And I don't know how to have time in the morning to go and make sure they're made well. And then I find out later in the day that they weren't made. And then it's hard to connect consequences right to the problem and et cetera, et cetera.
We always had a bed fairy, and anyone of any age can be a bed fairy. When I'm in the middle of making breakfast that I want to make sure the beds are made, I'll just say, you know, whoever's down here, oh, Nico, you're down here. Would you run quick, be the bed fairy and see if all the beds are made? And they'll create pretty hard on their siblings. Well, so-and-so's bed is sort of made. Well, so-and-so forgot to tuck in this side. So I think try that. Try having a bed fairy might be one idea.
What do you do? So we have always had making your bed as an expectation, but my oldest has stopped making his bed and he leaves early in the morning to early morning seminary. So I don't realize till he leaves, and no one else has made their bed by the time he leaves. And so then everyone's bed is made but his, and he's the most capable.
Well, we were probably a little mixed tiggle wiggle sometimes, but a couple of times Mark went and picked them up and brought them home to make their bed. I don't know if that was the right thing or not, but he went and got them at school and said, oh, you forgot to make your bed. I think he only did it once or twice. That might be extreme, but it's an idea.
Or maybe have a candy fairy too that comes to everyone that did make their bed that day.
So we have a reward if you pass off, and he's able to pass off, but he never does because he doesn't care enough to do it. The other thing that he stopped doing is that he used to make his bed, like he used to have a sheet and a blanket. And now he's taken all of those off. So he just has his fitted sheet and a blanket. So he doesn't even need to hardly do anything. That bothers me too, because I'm like, he's not going to know how to make a decent bed, even though he did when he was five.
Actually, they're going the way of the world. My kids too have asked to please just give me my duvet cover, my duvet and my sheet, my fitted sheet. That's enough. So I've been fighting that battle too with the flat sheet. Nobody really uses them anymore, but like you, Katie, I like them to know how to do it. So I might fight that battle until they leave home. And then when they're in college, they can drop the flat sheet if they want.
I already gave up that battle. They just use their top sheet and their bottom sheet, because I just gave up, because all of my kids are like that. And it's just hard for them to figure out how to get that other sheet on. So I think every family is different. But the other thought I had that I feel is a principle is that you can use your resources. And when you have children that are starting to get older, one of the resources is that you can help the older child train the younger child. So I am wondering if you could even use that, Katie. I mean, I guess he leaves early, too early, more than before everybody else gets up. But maybe this summer, have him train Maribor on how to make a bed. And then the older child is more into making sure it's done right than they usually are. And the training is happening without me having to be there. So we've used that a few different times, just to assign sometimes the senior buddy and the junior buddy, and just tell the senior buddy, you're training this child to do this job. So make sure that they're learning.
Okay, three quick things. Hides, I love that you're going outside of your own house. I think that's a principle all by itself, to be helping others, and that's huge. Kate's, our solution for beds is that we turn off our heat at night and we live in the north. Our kids want blankets. They want as many as we can give them, and they will make their beds so they can keep blankets on their beds. So turn off your heat. And as far as the other thing is that with the bed making, maybe it's a boy thing. I don't know. We have a boy who doesn't make his bed very easily. And our Mighty Tidy, that's one of our morning jobs. Our person who gives out Mighty Tidies, that's one of the requirements for it. And sometimes he doesn't get his Mighty Tidy, and a lot of times Mighty Tidies aren't worth it. But every once in a while, we have a really fantastic Mighty Tidy after school that he really is sad about, and he misses out. So, again, with the candy fairy, maybe that goes along those lines. Rewards, after school snack or something.
Ray, what are your Mighty Tidies? Sorry, 2 seconds. Like every morning they get something for being ready for the day, or?
So the Mighty Tidy is a little, maybe 1/16 sheet of paper that just says Mighty Tidy on it. And our Mighty Tidy job person in the morning, right before, it's usually the last person to leave for the day, goes and hands, puts one on everybody's pillow if they earned it. And that means their bed's made, their laundry's picked up, their room is tidy. They get a Mighty Tidy. And then after school, there's a treat. And it's usually dried fruit, because that's what I have a lot of, is just dried fruit. So they get dried fruit, but they come home hungry. So that's huge for them. But every once in a while, we have maybe cookies or Hostess donuts or something. And you have to have a Mighty Tidy, and you can't do it. I mean, they have to do it in the afternoon if they haven't, but the treat is not the option then, if they had to do it after school. So when he gets slack on his room, then the Mighty Tidies get a little cooler.
So how do you enforce the after school when he comes home and it didn't happen? How do you enforce that he does it then?
I just have him go do it. I don't know. Maybe dinner is a requirement. We've made some things that, I mean, they have to get done before dinner. Piano practice and things. So that can be added to the list.
They're ready before our flight, but this has been such a fun conversation. And I think I might try some Mighty Tidies at my house.
Well, it has been a fun conversation. Hides, I don't know if we got to all your questions, but we've solved a good chunk of the world's problems anyway.
Yes, thank you. I do appreciate all of the ideas. I'll come with more questions next week. Don't worry.
And I've been taking notes since Ray's not. And so on my note list, I have teach responsibility, teach what it means to have a responsibility and what your responsibilities are. Help them take ownership in family council by divvying up the jobs with everybody's input. Make sure that you remember that every child is different and follow the spirit as you're dealing with different children and knowing what their needs are. Remember that no good effort is wasted. Everything that we are trying to do will pay off in some way. Have older children help train younger ones, bed fairies, mighty tidies, other motivations. And remember that we always want to teach our children to serve and help others in our home, but also outside of our home. It's been awesome. Thank you all for your input.
Thank you. See you next time for more Sister Share. Love you all.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Safe travels, Nin.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.